Good morning and thank you for coming. My paper is on linking adult intimate partner violence in California with children's emotional and behavioral functioning. I want to acknowledge my colleagues, May Aiden and David Grant at UCLA, and Sue Holpe at the Public Health Institute. And I have nothing to disclose. In terms of background, nearly 4 million Californians report experiencing intimate partner violence as adults, 17% in 2007. Previous studies demonstrate an association between exposure to abuse, including witnessing violence, and adverse adult physical and emotional health outcomes, such as the ACE study. Beyond the trauma, though, that faces adults, an added concern is the toll that IPV may take upon children in the household. Exposure to recent violence may adversely impact that child's health, especially if they witness the violence. This California-based study focuses on the impact of adult intimate partner violence histories on young children's emotional and behavioral difficulties. The three main research questions you can see here on the slide: what is the prevalence in households with children? Are children in IPV households at greater risk of emotional and behavioral difficulties compared to children in non-IPV households? And do the patterns vary by demographics? I won't go over CHIS. My colleague talked about it. You can see a little bit of the highlights there. The 2000 sample, though, for the intimate partner violence module was 37,000 adults aged 18 to 65 who were asked about intimate partner violence experiences. And then from that, I took the sample down to 4,900 of adults that had children ages 4 to 11. Now I want to talk about the measures. The IPV measure, that module included introductory language because of the sensitive nature of violence, so they could opt out if they felt they didn't want to answer those questions, as well as we had a hotline for those who answered the questions and needed some help afterwards. We used Murray Strauss's modified conflict tactic scale, and we had really two time frames. One was since age 18, any physical or sexual intimate partner violence, and you can see the individual questions there. And then in the past 12 months, was there recent violence in terms of physical or sexual? We also asked in that module the perpetrator's relationship, their gender. We asked about drinking or using drugs during the most recent incident, and we asked about frequency of incidents as well as help seeking. In terms of the child measure, we used the strength and difficulties questionnaire. This is a brief behavioral screener to predict child psychiatric risk. There's 5 subscales. Again, you can see those on the slide. We didn't use the full 25 questions because CHIS, as again was pointed out, is a large omnibus health survey, and instead used the 6-item version, asking the adult of that child, age 4 to 11, about whether the child was an obedient child, whether the child had a lot of worries. It asks about unhappiness, tearfulness, depression. It asks if the child has better relationships with adults than children, and it asks about if they have a good attention span. And then the measure looks at past 6-month symptoms. It's again asked of children 4 to 11 in CHIS. We use proxy adult. The adult that has the most knowledge of that child's health answers the questions about the children. The SDQ identifies overall risk as well as some areas of specific developmental problems. And then if the parent affirms that that child has some difficulties in the past 6 months, they're asked whether or not they were minor, definite, or severe. The scale's then summed, and there's 3 measures in terms of outcomes for the SDQ: whether or not the child is in the normal risk level, borderline, or abnormal. And the author of this particular measure is Robert Goodman. So results. In terms of overall prevalence, I already mentioned physical IPV in California, 17%, or almost 4 million. Sexual IPV, 5% or over a million. Among those experiencing recent intimate partner violence, physical was 25% and sexual was 8%. And then I took a look at IPV in households with children. The prevalence there with children ages 4 to 11 was 23%, or 1.2 million. Among parents experiencing recent violence, the prevalence was 6%. And then I wanted to put it together, and first I looked at just the SDQ borderline or abnormal scores. And here it was 11% of children when you add those, sum those together, or approximately 125,000 children in California. And this is one of the take-home messages. We found, looking at the bivariate analysis, that children in households with IPV histories were more likely to have borderline or abnormal scores than children in households that did not have those histories. And the sample sizes, as you can see, 11,000 versus about 4,000. I'm trying to catch up on time. So she goes, yeah, I have 10 minutes. But I'll save room for Susan. In terms of the bivariate analyses on the SDQ, gender, males were more likely to have borderline or abnormal scores than females. That was significant. Race also. Asians were less likely to have borderline or abnormal scores than whites or Latinos. And again, I looked at family type. Children in single-parent households were more likely to have borderline or abnormal scores than children in married households. Poverty also made a difference in terms of income. Children in lower-income households were more likely to have borderline or abnormal scores than children in higher-income households. So having looked at the bivariate analysis, I then did a multivariate analysis to see what really indeed predicted overall SDQ at an abnormal or borderline score for these children 4 to 11. The independent variables that I put into the model were those that we just talked about: gender, race, ethnicity, income, family type, and of course intimate partner violence, since that's what I was looking at. So what predicts? The model showed that indeed children in households with an IPV history were almost twice as likely to have an abnormal or borderline score than those in households that did not have that kind of history. Income also remained in the model. Children in lower income households were almost three times as likely to have an abnormal or borderline SDQ score. Gender also remained in the model. Being male, they were almost twice as likely to have an abnormal or borderline score. And family type was also still significant, with children in married couple households less likely to have children, or for them to affirm that they had children with abnormal or borderline scores. Race, however, fell out of the model, was not an explanatory factor. Study limitations, the findings are limited to the California population. Again, there was a smaller sample of children in households with recent intimate partner violence, and that really limits my ability to do the analysis. However, I will be able to pool the data. We're just getting the 2009 constructs now, and intimate partner violence, as well as SDQ, was in 2009. So hopefully I'll be able to take a look at what's going on for those households where there's a recent past 12 month intimate partner violence. But another point that I want to make in terms of a limitation is children are really impacted by exposure to a variety of adverse experiences, and we're really unable in CHIS to determine if environmental or temperamental or other things that we do not measure on CHIS, despite it being almost a 35-minute survey for the adults. We don't ask everything. And also the child survey, we can't ask everything. And those may also impact child's emotional or behavioral difficulties. I'm trying to speed up, and so I really take a breath. In conclusion, a number of factors significantly increase the odds of child emotional or behavioral difficulties. Being male, being poor, living in a household with a single parent, and living in a household in which there was an adult with an IPV history. There's direct as well as indirect victims of intimate partner violence. Over 10% of adults grow up in households in which a woman has been an IPV victim. But children suffer also as hidden victims from parents' trauma from intimate partner violence. In terms of policy implications, providers really should increase their efforts to prevent IPV by screening and referring. And of course, as you know, there's protocols quite often used in adult medicine and in OBGYN, but there's no standards for screening and there's a lack of funding for such services in pediatric settings. While the findings also point to the importance of IPV as well as SDQ screening in pediatric settings, I think care really needs to be taken not to blame the victim. The goal here is to provide both the parent and the child with the needed services and support. And finally, I've been working on CHIS. I work for the Public Health Institute, one of the partners with UCLA and the state, and I've been working since 1998. I can tell you we are no longer going to be a biennial survey. We're going to be a continuous survey. We're developing the 2011 measures right now, so we'll be constantly in the field. And so you'll be able to get prevalence data when you go online. You can go to Ask CHIS, which is a really fun, easy-to-use data query system. And in fact, the feds are borrowing ours model. You can also get public use files. And then if some of the confidential data is not on those public use files, you can apply to the DAC at UCLA to get those. And also, when you go online, you can find a lot of publications and papers. Susan's are there, and lots of other people's as well as methods. So thank you.